Welcome to Simple Living Works, Episode 9. I'm Jerry Iverson. It's my pleasure to be your host for Part 4 of Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? This time featuring 10 tips for a simpler, more meaningful Christmas and teaching generosity to kids. We'll hear Christine Sine's The Search for Meaning Beyond a Commercialized World and Reflections and Real Life Experiences by Esther Armstrong. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, and effective lifestyle. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. Learn more about us in episodes 1 and 2. I'm glad to be with you today. In this episode, I continue the 6-part radio adaptation of the well-known Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? I hope you listen to the entire series, though each part is self-contained. 10 Tips for a Simpler, More Meaningful Christmas has been a standard at Alternatives for many years. It supplements several resources, including the pageant, What Does Jesus Want for Christmas?, and the skit, Consumo Must Go. It also comes in Spanish. It has been the basis for many radio interviews. It summarizes much of what Alternative stands for. In fact, they're so compact and concentrated that these 10 tips require some thought. I've used them for Adult Forum. Other versions include 10 tips for Easter and for other celebrations, even rites of passage, like birthdays and weddings. It fits on one side of a sheet of paper, so it can be posted on your refrigerator at home, on a bulletin board at work or church, or included in greeting cards or in emails. See the links to all the versions in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org. Click on window number 3. 10 Tips for a Simpler, More Meaningful Christmas. Welcome to Whose Birthday Is It Anyway?, a radio magazine for the Christmas season from Alternatives for Simple Living. I'm Jerry Iverson. On today's program, we'll give you ideas for celebrating a simpler, more meaningful Christmas season, so stay tuned for a reflection and a touching real-life experience. A little later, we'll have family fun, share simple living with home decorations, and a thought-provoking piece by Meg Cox, How to Teach Generosity to Children. Mixed in will be some well-known carols you've never heard before. Ten Tips for a Simpler, More Meaningful Christmas.
Number 1. Plan ahead. Instead of going on autopilot the day after Thanksgiving, hold a family meeting to decide what the group really wants to do and who's going to do what.
Number 2. If you need a symbol for giving, in addition to Jesus and the three wise ones, learn about St. Nicholas. Santa Claus has been completely taken over by commerce.
Number 3. Avoid debt. Refuse to be pressured by advertising to overspend.
Number 4. Avoid stress. Give to yourself. Don't assume that things have to be the same way they've always been.
Number 5. Draw names rather than everyone giving something to everyone else in your giving circle. Set a ceiling for each recipient. Give children one thing they really want rather than so many gifts. If need be, pool funds.
Give appropriate gifts. Get to know the recipient. Give what they want to receive, not what you want to buy.
Number 7. Give alternative gifts. Give 25% of what you spent last year to the needy, individuals or groups, locally, nationally, or internationally. Buy crafts and clothing from developing countries at alternative gift markets, not from commercial importers, so that the artisans receive a fair price for their work. Give of yourself, not just stuff. A coupon book for future services, such as babysitting or an enchanted evening. Something baked, sewn, handmade, composed, or a family service project, such as working together at a soup kitchen.
Number 8. Celebrate Advent for 4 weeks before Christmas. Use the booklet, Whose Birthday Is It Anyway?, or some other appropriate guide.
Number 9. Put the gifts under the tree shortly before opening them. Then take turns opening them around the tree, not all at once, so that each gift can be admired and each giver thanked.
Number 10. Make changes slowly but persistently.
Don't try to change everything and everybody all at once. It might not be easy, but take it one step at a time. It's well worth the effort.
Gather around the Advent wreath and share the reflection for this day from Whose Birthday Is It, Anyway?
December 20. Watch for a chance to discuss needs and wants with a child. What role does TV play in a child's definition of need? Give 25 cents for every toy commercial you see today.
December 21st. Gandhi urges us to live simply that others may simply live.
December 22nd. Children can have difficulty understanding how they can make this a better world. Fill a box with written suggestions. Read a story to your brother, collect aluminum cans to recycle, etc.
December 23rd. Franklin Delano Roosevelt wisely said, "The nation that destroys its soil destroys itself."
December 24th, Christmas Eve. Gather around the Advent wreath and share the reflection for this day from Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? Play the Christmas game.
December 25th, Christmas Day. Christmas does not end on December 25th. In fact, the 12 days of Christmas are just beginning. The great festival of Epiphany is not far off. Continue your Christmas journey and joyous celebration. We hope those ideas are helpful. We'll have more on our next program. A daily calendar for the whole Christmas season is available free of charge. The Search for Meaning, Beyond a Commercialized World by Christine Sine. Christine is the author of the newly released book, Sacred Rhythms, Finding a Peaceful Pace in a Hectic World. She and her spouse, Tom Sine, co-authored Living on Purpose, Developing a Personal Mission Statement.
Robin was angry and confused. She had known since childhood that Santa was not real, but she had just discovered that her much-beloved roly-poly red-robed Santa Claus was a marketing ploy invented in the early 20th century by Coca-Cola to encourage consumerism. She was angry because she had been duped by the commercialization of what should be the most meaningful season of the year. She was also confused because she didn't know how to break the news to her kids that Santa Claus wasn't real without destroying their faith in her honesty. "I hate Christmas," she told me. "I eat too much, drink too much, and rush from one store to another, afraid that I forgot to buy a gift for someone important. The fact that we are celebrating the birth of Christ hardly even registers on my screen." When Christmas is over, how many of us look back on the season with the same sense of betrayal that Robin experienced? An opportunity to model and teach simplicity and the tenets of our Christian faith to our children has turned into one of the greatest displays of materialism, reflecting the values of the consumer society. We are all people of habit and routine and need spiritual rituals to provide anchors for our souls. When our faith does not provide these rituals, the secular culture quickly jumps in with its quasi-spiritual offerings. Massage therapy, aromatherapy, a day at the local health spa, and our increasingly secularized and material approach to Christmas all tantalize us with the promise of peace and relief from our stressed-out lives. Tragically, people of faith are just as likely to be sucked in by these rhythms and ignore the rituals of their faith.
Two types of spiritual rituals.
According to anthropologist Paul Hebert, there are two types of spiritual rituals or routines that we all need in our lives to maintain our spiritual focus and enable us to live at a healthy and balanced pace. Restorative rituals and rituals of transformation. Restorative rituals are those activities we perform on a regular basis to renew our faith in the beliefs that order our lives and to rebuild the religious community in which these beliefs find expression. Daily prayer times, Sunday church, and faith-focused celebrations at Christmas, Easter, and other important Christian festivals are all restorative rituals that can refocus our priorities on the values of our Christian faith. Not surprisingly, the secular culture provides an increasing array of its own rituals that compete with these. Christmas, in particular, with its hyped-up consumerism and partying, constantly seeks to impress on us its belief that joy to the world means eating heavenly chocolates or setting up a giant inflatable nativity set in our front yard. Neither my husband Tom nor I grew up in a liturgical church, but in the last few years we have embraced the tradition of the Advent wreath with great enthusiasm. Each morning before breakfast, we light the appropriate candles and read the scriptures for the day from the Episcopal Book of Common Prayer. It is a wonderful way to focus our lives on the real celebration, the coming of Emmanuel, God with us, God in us, God for us. We also like to enter into the celebratory aspects of the season, however, not trying to out-party the partygoers, but rather to focus our joy and celebration on the true meaning of the season. Each year we hold an annual Advent party that focuses on our anticipation of the return of Christ and the coming of God's kingdom in all its fullness, when all things will be made new. The second type of practice we need in our lives in order to create healthy spiritual rhythms is what Dr. Hebert calls rituals of transformation. These rituals provide a structure that enables us to grow and bring change into our lives. Hebert explains that these rituals cut through the established way of doing things and restore a measure of flexibility and personal intimacy. Prayer retreats, pilgrimages, and mission trips are all transformative rituals that enable us to continue to grow our faith and mature as Christian disciples. Our consumer culture is very intentional about seeking to focus our lives on its materialistic values, and we need to be just as intentional in our focus on God's biblical values in order to stand against these pressures. Tom and I love to go on a prayer retreat during the Advent season as a time to reflect on our sense of God's call in our lives and to evaluate the ways in which we have used our time and resources over the last year. We spend time listening to God and set goals that reflect our sense of biblical purpose for the following year, not just for our vocation, but for every area of life. Then throughout the year, we take time on Sunday morning before church to journal and to check up on our progress. Out of our prayer retreats has come a whole new rhythm of life that enables us to pace our activities more in sync with our connection to the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, rather than to the dictates of the secular culture. Another possibility is to look for ways to transform the symbols of the consumer culture into expressions of our faith. I suggested to Robin that instead of focusing on Santa Claus, she share with her children the story of St. Nicholas, who lived in Turkey in the 4th century and was known for his expressions of love for God and for neighbor. One of the best-known stories involves a poor man who did not have enough money to provide dowries for his 3 unmarried daughters. As a result, they were likely to become prostitutes. Nicholas walked past the house on 3 consecutive nights and each time threw in a bag of gold. He became a symbol of anonymous gift-giving. As she shared this story, Robin was able to encourage her kids to focus their gift-giving on those who are really in need at this season, and in doing so to remember the one who gave us the greatest gift of all, Christ our Savior. The whole family volunteered to serve Christmas dinner at a local homeless shelter and bought a goat for a poor family in Ethiopia. It was our most satisfying Christmas ever, she said. Before the Christmas season gets started, you may like to take some time to really prepare this year. Develop some short rituals for you and your family to use throughout the year that enable you to enter into the joy of Christ's birth and the wonder of God coming into our world to dwell among us without the overwhelming pressures of consumerism. The reflection for the 4th Sunday of Advent assures us that God is with us.
Before God, we are naked. Everything shows, our beauty as well as our bumps, bruises, boils, and blisters. God knows us so intimately and profoundly that we cannot hide anything, though we do try. Emmanuel, God with us, is always present, always calling us the beloved, always wooing us to live the gospel, to say yes to freedom. God is with us when we are struck by the madness, addictions, and sickness of the world and within ourselves. God is with us as we struggle through storms and hard times. God is with us, giving us courage and the faithful grace to stand up to the dominating powers of this world, to speak truth and take action regarding the lies we hear, the unethical behavior we see, and the injustice done in our names. God is with us when we question an economic system based on competitive greed, a society structured around the accumulation of wealth, a nation with a $1 trillion credit card debt, a cultural lifestyle that destroys the environment, and a nation whose consumptive gluttony of resources helps ensure that 1/5 of the world's population lives in abject poverty, dying of hunger and disease. God is also with us as we seek to live the gospel of love and nonviolence, becoming co-creators with God, cloaking the world in a tapestry of peace. To be with God is to leave false securities, the competitive, violent ones, behind, to travel light, to deal with our own demons, to take risks in faith, to let go of expectations, ego, and entitlement. Jesus said to follow him, to love God, to stand beside and welcome in all our brothers and sisters who do not feel safe in our community or church, to serve those we call the least of these, to offer bread to those who are hungry, and to give to all our hearts of compassion. God is with us this Advent as we are called to gather and pray.
Ask forgiveness of those we have injured or harmed.
Confront injustice and right the wrong.
Overcome fear, retaliation, and hatred with love, nonviolence, freedom.
Keep on singing truth, beauty, poetry, music.
Passionately proclaim the words of Jesus and the prophets with such courage and conviction that we will not recognize our own voices, even when we know them to be ours.
Questions to ponder. How have you experienced God being with you?
How has fear stopped you from reaching out to the stranger in your community, to those who are in need?
A real-life experience that peace is within you.
We were enjoying the gardens with our friend Moti in Bombay, India, when Moti turned to me and said, "It's a puzzle I live with. I suppose you might call it a paradox. You live in a Christian country, yet you have the highest crime rate in the world. You have the highest percentage of people in prison. Everyone seems to sue everyone else for nearly everything. Your malpractice rates are high. Your rate of abortions, infant mortality, suicides are steadily climbing. You are constantly at war while you talk about peace. How do these facts relate to the teachings of Jesus?" "I don't know," I whispered. "Perhaps you have made an erroneous assumption that being a Christian is the same as being a follower of Jesus." We walked on in silence.
You're listening to Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? A radio magazine for the Christmas season from Alternatives for Simple Living. I'm Jerry Iverson. Now Jill Avery and Dieta Riley share a carol from Alternatives' collection of carols. You'll recognize the first stanza. It's the traditional opener.
Emmanuel.
Teaching Generosity to Kids by Meg Cox, author of The Book of New Family Traditions.
How do we raise kids who care? Kids who are compassionate and generous and kind? One important way is by introducing both holiday and everyday rituals that highlight giving and sharing. By letting our children see us give our time and money to people and organizations in need of assistance. And by talking as a family about the many people in the world who have less than we do. Here are three basic steps for parents to follow.
Number one, explain how helping others works through charity.
Two, talk about various charities that might interest your kids and get them to pick one or two.
Three, create a ritual of saving or collecting money for those charities.
Make a helping others jar from an old coffee can. In addition, I suggest that you have a family meeting once or twice a year, including the winter holidays, where you choose your causes for the next period. Let each child pick a cause about which he or she is passionate. Send in the money collected every 6 months, and when you do, don't just send a check. Get your child to help you write or even illustrate a letter to the charity. I still recall as a kid when I sent less than $12 to a cerebral palsy charity. Someone at the organization took the time to write me a personal note of thanks. Could that help explain why giving feels so good to me as a grown-up?
One great charity for kids is Heifer International, www.heifer.org, which provides farm animals to poor families worldwide. Thus, they gain both food and a way of making a living. Your family can choose a specific animal, such as a sheep or baby chicks, and collect the amount of money Heifer requires to buy that animal. Draw or paste a picture of your animal on the Helping Others jar. Your little ones may even name it. One way to make it more real is to read aloud the picture book Beatrice's Goat, which tells the true story of how one African girl's life improved after her family got a heifer goat.
Kids can share their own belongings as they outgrow things, such as sending children's books to AIDS orphans. For the past 6 years, my awesome friend Lucy Steinitz has lived with her family in Namibia, running a national AIDS program for the Catholic Church. The program has taught hundreds of volunteers across the country who work as home health aides, providing basic care to their infected neighbors and sometimes family. Lucy has also asked American friends to help send children's books to the orphans. Many speak English, taking advantage of a program at the U.S. Postal Service called M-Bags. These are big, sturdy bags that cost little to send, a dollar a pound, because they go the slow route, taking up to 3 months. Our kids may not be ready for a detailed account of the AIDS plague, but sending a book to a child far away who has none is a good deed that will make sense to them.
That was How to Teach Generosity to Children by Meg Cox. You're listening to Whose Birthday Is It Anyway?, a radio magazine for the Christmas season from Alternatives for Simple Living. I'm Jerry Iverson. Now let's hear How to Have Some Family Fun by Sharing Simple Living Through Home Decorations. Share simple living ideas with a fun, family-made home decorating craft project. Project number one is a frameable hanging for a front door or wall. Calligraphy and frame messages on heavy recycled cardstock. Here are some possible messages to put on your hanging. We wish you a joy-filled, simple Christmas.
We wish you a low-stress, no-debt Christmas.
This Christmas, let's give a whole lot more to the needy and spend a whole lot less on ourselves. This Christmas, let's share our abundance, not just our excess.
Blessed are those who work for peace and justice without violence.
Project number two, a simple living tree. Besides the messages that I've mentioned already in project number one, here are some seasonal messages for the simple living tree.
Whose birthday is it anyway?
Buy me nothing. I'll still love you.
Bearing gifts does not make us wise.
Yes to Jesus and joy, no to stress and stuff.
Your round messages might include:
live simply, that others may simply live.
Consume less, share more.
If you want peace, work for justice.
Peace begins when the hungry are fed.
Reduce, reuse, recycle, restore.
That was Sharing Simple Living Through Home Decorations. You're listening to Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? A radio magazine for the Christmas season from Alternatives for Simple Living. I'm Jerry Iverson. On our next program, we'll present the classic tale of Jason's birthday. Also, thoughts while not listening to the Christmas story, as well as more reflections and real-life experiences, the calendar for the week, and more favorite carols you've never heard before. Thank you for joining us on Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? A radio magazine from Alternatives for Simple Living. Alternatives was begun over 30 years ago to help people find happiness and meaning in life through relationships rather than stuff. By getting to know ourselves, our family and friends, our beloved Earth and all its inhabitants, and especially God.
You've been listening to the fourth of six parts of the radio version of Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? Featuring 10 Tips for a Simpler, More Meaningful Christmas and Teaching Generosity to Kids. See the show notes for a link to the text of the several versions of 10 Tips. Visit simplelivingworks.org, click in window number 3. We've received some encouraging response recently. Maureen Renault, the Christian Development Support Worker at St. Andrew's Church, Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, wrote, "Good morning. A few years ago, we were able to buy printed copies of Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? To distribute to the families in our congregation. I spent quite a bit of time on your website, and it's amazing. Resources galore. Thank you. But I didn't see a printed version is available. Did I miss it? Or would you suggest that I gather and print a collection of relevant articles, with attribution, of course? Thank you for all you do, Maureen." And I wrote back, "So good to hear from you, Maureen. I have sent out several requests for submissions for Whose Birthday 2013 and will post them on the Simple Living Works website. Yes, please assemble the articles that would best serve your constituency. With a very few clearly marked exceptions, all materials on the Simple Living Works site are now covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share-Alike license, which means you do not need permission to reprint. You may not profit from the material, and you credit the source, of course. Please use recycled paper and send me a copy so I can brag about you. If you want to take orders from others or post your version to a website, let me know so I can send others your way. The ELCA, that's the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, will house hard copies of all of Alternatives' resources and make photocopies, CDs, and DVDs available upon request for a nominal charge starting in 2014. I'm working to get a complete set to them by the end of the year. I hope you will stay connected with Simple Living Works through our various social media, website, podcast, blog, e-newsletter, and urge others to do the same. Just use the social media tab at the top of menu at simplelivingworks.org. And Maureen replied, "Thanks for your very informative email. Every year for the last 5 years I've worked at this church, a minister has asked for a current copy of the Whose Birthday. I'm glad to see the movement is very much alive online. We'll be following your social media, and I'll send you a copy if we make our own print version. All the very best to you, and thank you for your good work, Maureen." Well, we've received more positive responses to this podcast than we can mention. Read them at the bottom of each episode's show notes. In addition to this podcast and its show notes, we blog 3 times a week on a variety of simple living subjects. So click on blog at the top of the show notes for each episode of this podcast. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to alternatives at simplelivingworks.org, or on our Facebook page, or on the Simple Living Works blog. All those addresses are given in the show notes at our website, simplelivingworks.org. Click on window number 3. I sure hope that you'll think about submitting something for Whose Birthday Is It Anyway 2013. The guidelines are given in the show notes, as well as a lot of ideas about articles and art. In episode 10, I plan part 5 of Whose Birthday Is It Anyway, featuring the classic Story of Jason, from which we get the name Whose Birthday Is It Anyway, and also thoughts while not listening to the Christmas story. Time to wrap up episode number 9 of Simple Living Works podcast. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will now through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. We'd love to get to know you as a subscriber to this podcast and to our blogs. Subscriptions are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Remember to like on Facebook. Urge your friends to do the same. We do not solicit or accept donations, nor do we sell anything. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share-Alike license, and I hope you'll see the credits for the music and the other voices on this show in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org. Click on window number 3. So, until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works Podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly.
Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live.